Scripture tells us to be persistent in our prayers. Persistence does not mean to beg. It's not that God doesn't want to answer our prayers. Welcome to session 9 of Arise and Shine's devotional. Today we are talking about unanswered prayer. You know, I recently heard a testimony about a woman who prayed for her husband for 30 years. Her husband was known as the town drunk, and he owned a mechanic shop in their small town, so everybody knew who he was. And people in her life, even Christian people, told her to stop praying, telling her that he was never going to change. But she told them that she served a bigger God than what they thought, and she never gave up. Well, one day, her husband encountered the Lord, surrendered his life to Jesus, and from that day, alcohol tasted like a vinegar in his mouth. He never had another drink. He actually became known as the mechanic that prayed for people. People would come to his shop and ask for prayer and get healed. 30 years, you guys, that's a long time. I'm not suggesting that it always takes that long for God to answer a prayer, but sometimes we get patient when we've prayed a week for something. How long are we willing to pray and stay faithful? You know, in Genesis 25, we read that Isaac prayed for his wife, Rebecca, because she was barren. In verse 21, it says, Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebecca became pregnant with twins. The verse basically says, Rebecca couldn't get pregnant, Isaac prayed, and then she got pregnant. It sounds like it all happened really quickly. Well, I heard a teaching recently and realized that Isaac prayed 20 years before his wife got pregnant. Scripture tells us that he was 40 when they got married, and their twins, Jacob and Esau, were not born until he was 60. I know some of us have been praying for something for years, maybe decades. Keep praying. Jesus tells us to be like the widow in Luke 18 who kept knocking on the judge's door, asking for justice. He was an unjust judge, but because she didn't give up, he gave her what she asked for. After Jesus told this parable, he said, "How much more will our just God answer his people when they cry out to him?" In Ephesians 6:18, Scripture tells us to be persistent in our prayers. Persistence does not mean to beg. It's not that God doesn't want to answer our prayers. Sometimes we have unanswered prayer because God is building something in us or working something out of us. Or maybe not. God is God and we are not. We don't have to understand why. We can ask him. Of course, he may let us in on it, or he may ask us to simply trust him. But instead, if we make the mistake of using human reasoning to bring a why to something that we don't understand, sometimes the result is accepting something we shouldn't. If we believe that God gave us a disease, for example, we settle in with it and give it permission to stay. I've heard too many Christians say that God gave them some kind of ailment or disease to teach them something or for some other kind of reason, and they reference Paul's thorn in the flesh. But I want to point out two things here. First, there's something called the law of first mention, meaning that the first time you see something in Scripture, it has the same meaning when you see it again. The thorn in the flesh is seen first in Numbers 33:55, and the thorn represented people, not a sickness or ailment. It was people who would harass others. Second, when we read about Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12:7, it says that the thorn was given to him by a messenger from Satan. It was not from God. John Bevere said this, I quote, "We're deceived if we think something other than good or perfect comes from God. A messenger of Satan is in no way good and certainly not perfect," unquote. Guys, we cannot create theology around the things that we don't understand. It just creates a false peace, and somehow we feel better about holding God's reputation in our hands by giving reason to why he hasn't come through. Bill Johnson references Philippians 4:6-7, and he says, "In order to have a peace that surpasses all understanding, you have to give up your right to understand," unquote. Guys, we cannot hand the promises of God over to our need to bring understanding. We also cannot set ourselves up for disappointment by creating expectations of God when we pray. You know, Danny Silk did a great teaching on the difference between expectation and expectancy. He said, I quote, "Expectations are taking what we know and analyzing it while we come up with a good solution for God to follow, like how and when God should answer a prayer. Expectancy, however, is simply trusting God's goodness and faithfulness to actively work for our good." I want to give you kind of a fun example. Back in 2014, my family and I had moved out to California when I attended ministry school. We had to live in a motel for a few months until our house closed and we could find a house to rent. And while we were living at the motel, we ate whatever we could cook in the microwave or on the little skillet we fit next to our little TV. And my two older boys, who were 8 and 6 at the time, asked if we could go out to eat at Denny's. As much as we wanted to say yes, we just couldn't. It was the money was just too tight. And so our boys suggested that we pray for God to help us find money outside, as like they wanted to go for a walk and see if we could find money to go out to eat. So encouraged by their faith, we said that was a great idea. So we prayed and then we went for a walk. And we helped them look around bushes and on gutters and down in ditches. We didn't find any money that night, so we ate in. But within the next few days, I was in contact with a potential landlord. And as we made plans to look at the house and meet him, the landlord suggested that we meet at Denny's, and he offered it to pay for our family's meal. He didn't approve us as renters. He was like, "Are you kidding me?" He didn't say that. He was thinking it though, for sure. But we did get our meal at Denny's. Our prayer was answered, just not how or when we thought it would be. And I just wonder how many times God answers a prayer in a way that we don't expect and we miss it. This is a really short-term example. I get that. I know that some of us have been praying for years without evidence of an answer yet. I get it. You know, Bill Johnson once said, he said, "Faith brings answers to prayer. Enduring faith brings answers with character." Guys, God knows the strength of character it is going to take for us to walk into our destiny. I encourage you, do not give up. Keep praying and keep believing. Open your mouth and declare the promises God has given you. Guys, we have one more week of devotion, so 3 more sessions. We are going to start next week learning to master our emotions instead of the other way around. If we don't, instead of standing our ground, we're going to be like laying in bed with a tub of ice cream and a bad Netflix series. Okay. Guys, if you don't have my book yet, it is on sale on my website. You can grab your signed copy there. Again, if you'd like to invite me to speak at your church event or women's group, you can put in a request on my website at jamieandthompson.com. Thank you for taking the time to be here. If this message taught you something, blessed you, ministered to you, help me share it. Just click share. You can also like and subscribe and help me spread the word.